You're listening to Digital Creator. My name is Dylan Schmidt. Let's dive right in today because we got a packed episode. Just to give you a frame of the way these podcast episodes have been flowing these days, super simple, straightforward. There is this introduction, and then there's three segments. Each segment covers a different topic. I try to make it punchy, and I don't want to just like go on one topic for too long, just because some topics don't, you know, need to be going on for too long. I just go on as long as it needs to go, but somehow, magically, it always fits within that 20-minute time limit that I set for myself to record this episode. It's magic. I'll leave it at that. And the topics we're going to be talking about today, just to give you an overview. First up, we'll be talking about a question I got about focusing on a specific single niche or going wider. Then we'll be talking about a framework that you can use to stay ahead of the competition in your category. And then I'll be answering a question around productized services, which is like what I do with my company Content Clips, how we are able to handle a high workload with demanding clients. So let's dive right in. So here's the question I'm answering. Everyone keeps saying that it's worth focusing on a single niche. While I agree it makes sense, I can't help but revolve around three or four different areas I'm interested in. If I only focus on one, I get bored quickly. What should I do? I feel you on that. I feel like I talk about a bunch of different things. I kind of do. You know what? Some people have said, actually, you get away with talking about a bunch. I don't feel like I can get away with talking about as many different things as you. But I have gone through periods where it has felt extremely like limiting and I only talk about one thing. And there are highs and lows to any content creation. And I will say that this topic of staying singular focused around a niche is one that won't necessarily go away. It's one that will just be there. And you got to make your bed with it, right? You got to make your peace with it. You got to accept that it's going to be there and move on. But let's talk about it some more. So should you focus on picking a specific single niche? I came prepared for this episode and I came across a study that was done with 48,000 YouTube channels. And they found that multi-topic channels had a 17% higher chance of reaching 1 million subscribers compared to single topic channels. And some examples you can see of really large YouTube channels. We're looking at YouTube channels, but you could apply the same to podcasts. You could apply the same to social media content, pretty much any content you're creating. Although I think this question was actually geared towards YouTube. We look at, you know, the most popular tech and we look at the most popular tech channels. There's Linus Tech Tips. There's Marcus Brownlee. They don't only just focus on like a specific part of computers or something, right? They've expanded over into science, cars, gaming, talking about, you know, things outside of just computers or phones. So when you think of your niche, it shouldn't feel limiting. It should feel empowering. But on the flip side, you have to know what you're talking about. And how many things can you really know at a depth that no one else really knows, right? Especially to keep it going. I think there's only a handful of things, right? If we look at Joe Rogan for just an instance, because he's the most popular podcaster by far. You know, he only has like, I think three or four probably main domains that he stays in. But I see a lot of criticism around him only sticking in those domains. But I think that's like a human thing. He's released, I believe, over 2,000 episodes now. And all of us, like if we were to record that many episodes, 3 hour long podcasts, I think we would find three or four domains where we tend to hang out and could be able to create content that has an impact repetitively. So instead of thinking about maybe one specific niche, you just think about those three or four domains you're hanging out in. Now, for me, I'll tell you what those domains are. Obviously, podcasting is a big one. And my background, you know, the reason I even got into that is because my background since middle school, I've been obsessed with audio. Since middle school, it's been one of the domains I've just wanted to be around. Still to this day, I love audio and I love storytelling and podcasting is perfect for that. Now within podcasting, we're talking content creation. We're talking so many different things I can kind of go off on tangents about, like I guess I'm even doing right now. But I also have just like a passion, a love for content creation. That's what sparked this podcast, Digital Creator, obviously. And, you know, cameras and gear and tech and things like that. And it falls under that tech umbrella. Now I've built a gaming PC. I have a desire to learn more about that, but not that much. Like I can't really go on about RAM and CPU and GPU. I just you know, am not spending my off time going down those avenues. I am spending my off time still wanting to open up The Verge and read about tech and read about a new camera coming out or a new microphone. That stuff excites me. And I find that, you know, because I'm excited about it, sharing that excitement is so much easier. And another domain, you know, I have a passion for running my online business, which a lot of it is marketing because Content Clips, the Creator Club, like a large part of that is you have to market yourself. And I've had a deep passion for marketing, but marketing is nuanced, right? There's all sorts of types of domains within marketing. Marketing as a whole, just being like a marketing expert, generally speaking, is vague and it doesn't land that well. So I have, you know, all these nuanced interests within marketing that I can go down. So as you can probably see, I already have like a lot to talk about in my domains, but then also the spirituality part. I'm a big fan of meditation. I'm a big fan of just like creating inner peace. And I kind of want to string those in each of my domains. Now, I don't really outwardly talk about that because it's more of an inner journey for me. Also, I don't share a lot about, you know, obviously I have a domain around like my family and relationships, but I don't really want to externally invite that conversation into the world because it's not really something I'm interested in. Like I'm more interested in talking with you about content creation, podcasting, running an online business, a productized service, and doing all that while taking care of yourself and, you know, having inner peace and mindfulness and not being overwhelmed doing the whole thing. So as you can start to see, like I'm building kind of a world rather than just like, oh, I got to pick a specific niche and that's podcasting. Now, the nuancedness to this is something that I'm noticing a lot with coming across different pages on social media, particularly, or emails, is like, who is this for? There is a specific piece of writing advice from author, creator, Nicholas Cole, who it's so simple when I tell you, but it's going to have a profound impact on every piece of content you create. So instead of like, oh, I have to pick this one niche, just zero in on the piece of content that you're creating and don't worry about like how it all fits together. Just make it one at a time, right? You're just building a house, one brick at a time. And when you're creating one specific piece of content, ask yourself as you're creating it through this lens, kind of clarify on these three little beats. Number one, what's the topic? What's the topic you're talking about? Clarify that. Number two, for who? Who is this piece of content that you're making going to be for? And then three, so that, or what's the outcome? Topic, for who, so that. And if you answer those questions, if you figure out those beats for each piece of content you're making, people will feel like it's for them. They'll have more clarity. It doesn't even have to be like, oh, this feels like it's exactly for me. Sometimes it's like, oh, obviously that's for this person and I can still glean some information from it. But to talk to everyone is to talk to no one, right? So the more specific you can make it, the more it won't feel like you're absolute generalist who doesn't know who they're talking to and it's hard to remember you for something. So follow that, like answer those questions, topic for who, so that, and follow those three or four domains and you should have a good idea. We should have an endless idea of what you could talk about consistently over a long period of time. Next, and I'm running into two questions right off the bat here because I've just recently have surveyed my email newsletter audience, which hopefully you're a part of. If you're not, go to dylanschmidt.com and hop on because I just spent hours and hours and hours revamping the design of my email newsletter and trying to make it more intentional about the information I'm bringing you and hopefully make it something that you look forward to opening every week. All right. This question says, I have seen productized services like yours in the past, but I don't understand, how do you handle the fluctuating client load? So if you're not familiar, a productized service is just kind of, I guess, how it sounds, like a productized service. So it's a service that you've productized. It makes a service like simple to buy. If you go to contentclips.com, you'll see an example of this. That's my company that I've had for a couple of years now. Now, Content Clips is my main revenue generator. So if you're like, Dylan, you don't even do ads on this. Well, I don't, but I do talk about the two things that I run, which is Content Clips and the Creator Club. That's how I make money because I'm not doing brand deals and I'm just doing those. And the Creator Club is still in the growing stages. I see both of those as something that I want to do for a really long time. So I'm not, you know, in the get rich quick business. I'm in the get rich slow and tall business. And so part of that is like just being patient. and just really building two things, which is, for me, Content Clips, which is a productized service, and the Creator Club, which is an online community. So I just talk about those things, and then I provide links, and naturally, right, things happen. So on the topic of this productized service, if you go to contentclips.com, you can see how it works. It's really simple. You can buy it like you were buying something else. Traditionally, for finding a video editor for social media clips or for finding a podcast editor, you go to a website and it's like this vague way to work together. It's like, fill out this 20-question intake form and then we'll hop on a call and see if we're a good fit. And it's like hard to work with some of these companies. And this idea of like a productized service is you're hiring a service. It's super simple. You can turn it off and on at any time. There's no contract. And we do around 250 clips a month. So fluctuating client load. When we're looking through the lens of like Content Clips, it's month to month. I don't have anybody on some long-term retainer where they pay a lower monthly fee and they're going to stick around for longer. People start and stop the service where, you know, they're on for a couple months, they're off for a couple months. I just had a client come back after, I think they were off for a couple years. So they must have signed up not too long after I started Content Clips, but they just came back and they needed more clips for their podcast that they're launching. That adds on a new layer of work, right? Everything you do in a productized service is just like another layer of work. Every little thing. I got to think of it from so many different angles. And I just look at everything as systems, right? The system has to support the changes in the business. And there's so many different areas to think about. So without going into like such a forensic view of Content Clips, I'll give you this kind of like higher version of it is I have systems for everything. I am extremely organized from the beginning of Content Clips. I want to be able to have 10 clients join and I'm okay. And I'm not like, oh my gosh, I'm so stressed out. And I have built the systems to support that not freaking out because it's all about the systems. It's all about the systems. If you don't have a system, I don't even want to think about what it would be like to not have a system because it'd throw my mind in chaos. So I have steps for everything. A client comes in, how do they come in? You know, and we have boundaries with clients. Like we can't do everything. You know, there's like scope creep, it's called, where like, oh, can you also do this? No, we can't, because this is how we're able to offer this service at this price continually and at this quality, right? Extreme quality. With Content Clips, every video is meticulously edited and it goes through the same exact system. So no video is treated differently than the other. And it is it sounds funny, but it is a productized service. So the quality doesn't change. The only thing that really changes is the input and output, like the quality of video we get. Like I can't control what the client uses to record to send us, you know? I don't know what their webcam is. Like that's on them. They could hire me for consulting or something and I could advise them on what to buy and all those things and help them set it up. But you know, if they record just a Zoom call and they give me that, that's what is going to come out. So, you know, sometimes I'm like, I wish the quality could be higher of the video, but I don't have control over that. Still, even though if it's like a Zoom recording that I'm like, that's not how I would want it to be recorded, it doesn't really matter because like that's what the client has and that's what they need to work with. We still edit it the same quality as if it was a piece of 4K footage from a perfectly lit studio delivered to us, you know, by hand or something. You know what I mean? And that's just how we're able to handle the fluctuating client load. And that creates safety for the clients, creates safety for us. It creates safety for the contractors that I use for editing, but I'll hop in myself and do editing too. But again, it's systems, it's expectations, it's boundaries of like reinforcing those things of like, hey, we can't do that. And those three things are key to running a productized service and handling a fluctuating client load. I'd love to talk more about Content Clips stuff. I don't really know what to talk about because I don't get too many questions about it, but I did want to include this one because I enjoy talking about it. I just don't know how to talk about it. And I probably should talk about it more, but I don't know what's interesting. So if there is a part of Content Clips that is interesting to you, just let me know. The last thing I want to talk about is the ways that you can stay ahead of your competition. Now, why would you need to stay ahead of your competition? Good question. Really, it comes down to not feeling like you're ever like being left in the dust in your category, in your niche, in your domains, right? It can start to feel overwhelming when you start creating content and you start looking around and you're hyper aware of what everyone else is doing. And you're like, you know, how can I innovate? How can I be on the cutting edge? This is exactly how. This is exactly how you can be on the cutting edge. So it comes down to three C's. This is a framework I made. Comes down to this three C's approach to always staying ahead of the competition. Number one is community building. Number two is collaboration. And number three is continual learning. Number one, community building. So it starts with actively building a community, right? That is going to set you apart because you're going to have more one-to-one, which is so important. It doesn't matter if you're Oprah or if you are that person with one follower. It starts with actively engaging. And that looks like responding to direct messages you get, commenting back on people's comments, you know, that they left on your content, or emails. You know, people send you an email, politely reply to it as much as you can. Also, engaging with other people's content, especially if you are not having traction in your own content, you can still be an active community builder of your own community by engaging with other people's content. You know, and not from the lens of like you're jacking their riz, as the kids say, charisma. You're jacking their posts to talk about yourself. None of that. You're being a good community member. What does a good community member do? They just add to the conversation. They validate the conversation. They just keep the conversation going because we know as creators, like you post something and sometimes it feels like you're talking into the void. And other times you're like, oh, it's hard to keep up. When you're actively engaging, assume that they'll see it. Assume that, you know, even if they don't reply to you, you can still be a model citizen of someone else's community. And in turn, that will help you build yours. Because think like you're always being watched, right? If you're always being watched, even in the comments, how would you handle yourself, right? And with that community building comes also creating invitations for your audience to go deeper with you. To just like post and like reply to comments is cool, but like it only goes so deep, right? Social media especially, or just an email back and forth, it only goes so deep. I really believe in every creator needs some type of way to build a more tight-knit community, like a Facebook group, a Discord, some type of thing. And an email newsletter is a great start, but like that's not the best way for everyone to kind of communicate. And it's good. It's great. It's a necessary tool, but it's not a replacement for building a thriving community, right? Like with the Creator Club, it's so different being a part of the Creator Club than just getting my email newsletter. You'll get more out of it when you're interacting in the Creator Club. And then the second part of this three C's approach to staying ahead is collaboration. And collaboration is simple, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here, is leveraging different audiences, going live on Instagram with someone you know, or interviewing someone that you've been watching from afar. These things are so key and so overlooked. There's the external thing of like collaborating on content, and there's the internal thing, which is just collaborating behind the scenes. Collaborate with someone behind the scenes. You might hire them to consult you on something, and that might pay off externally. You might grow your audience. So collaboration doesn't always just happen how you think it happens. Like we just shared an Instagram post or something like that. It could just be as simple as you hire somebody, or you know, you're working with someone, you're getting feedback behind the scenes. And then the last of the three C's is that continual learning. Someone like myself, if you're like me, you have years of experience in your domain and you feel like you're exposed to a lot of the content that's out there. You've seen the Gary Vaynerchuks, the Alex Hormozis. You could just throw a rock and you could hit all these gurus, these experts that are doing like millions of dollars or whatever. We've all heard so many of the things over and over again. And I liken this to jujitsu because that's a big part of my background is Brazilian jiu-jitsu. But looking at the black belts I know and that I've learned from, they approach it with this beginner's mind. Yes, they know, but they're still wanting to put themselves into situations where they need to perform. They're still trying to learn new things. It's not like, oh, I know everything. That is the quickest way to die, is I've heard it all before. I don't need to hear anything else. I just need to use the things I got. Yes, there's times where you need to implement, and there's times where you need feedback, and there's times you need to iterate, right? Or create something new, but still continually learning just makes things so much more fun, but it doesn't put you at any disadvantage. Like you're not going to lose anything by learning, right? And if you can adopt this mindset of how can I continue to adapt and innovate and use, whether it's new tools, whether it's mindset tools or actual digital tools or different strategies or, you know, a new twist on the same strategy. There's always ways to continually learn to keep things fresh and appealing for not only others, but for yourself. And by following those three C's, I promise you'll stay ahead of the competition. Okay, thanks so much for listening. I'll catch you in the next one.